Hey, welcome to You Might Have Missed It. I'm Adam.
And I'm Nathan.
And this week, we are here to discuss my head exploding. I have just been losing at Hearthstone so much this last week. And I've found out several things about myself. I am a poor loser. This last couple of weeks has been kind of a lesson in like learning to like breathe and manage myself a little bit to the point where it's like I've realized I have to walk away from that game.
Are you becoming very zen lately?
No, just inner fury. Building up
of zen. Gotcha.
Exactly. I'm holding it all in, and then the second I lose to an opponent, I just have to let it all out.
That sucks.
Yeah, no, it was a bad week. Got my my stats readily available to remind myself.
Shit, you just need to uninstall that.
I like knowing how I'm doing.
You like knowing and then getting hate for it?
Yes.
Okay.
So I played 188 games.
Oh, Christ.
This month.
Holy shit.
Which isn't like over 30 days. That's not actually.
That's not that bad. That's like, yeah.
Well, and considering that, like, I was reading an article on Reddit today, actually a couple of days ago, but we'll pretend it's today. About how long it actually takes to get to legend, and kind of what it takes to do it. And the thing that struck me most about it is that from like rank 5 to rank 1, you're probably looking at about, you know, unless you go on like an insane winning streak, you're looking at about the same number of games from rank 20 to rank 5. So you're looking at about 258 games on average to reach legend. I'm not sure that's entirely true, but I guess that's not entirely true if you basically go undefeated, which you can probably see why there's not a lot of people who reach legend.
Yeah, I can understand.
And that's assuming at least a, I think like 70% win rate or something like that.
Christ.
Yeah. So that's assuming that you're doing really,
yeah,
really well. So my 30 day win loss ratio was 53-47.
That's not bad. You won more than you lost.
I won more than I lost. Although most of those wins were in the early ranks.
Oh, okay.
So earlier kind of in the month, sort of ish. And then, like I said, I just kind of went on a losing streak towards the end there, which of course is super annoying.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't care what kind of, like, how you take winning or losing. Going on a losing streak blows.
It does. Especially when you like feel like you were doing pretty good before you hit that losing streak.
Yeah.
My other problem is like my losing streaks weren't happening in a way that I was getting winning streaks before them. Because with Hearthstone, before you're rank, you know, 5, at rank 5, it's just, you know, you get a star every time you win until you get down to legend. And then, you know, you lose a star every time you lose. So it's pretty much equal, which is why you have to do better than 50-50 to get to legend.
Right.
You have to do at least, you know, like 53-47 would have eventually, a long eventually,
oh my God,
but eventually gotten me to legend. Obviously, I would need to improve that win rate quite a bit in order to do it with any sort of like human time limit.
Right.
But before that, you can have like a 50-50 overall win rate and still get down to like rank 5.
Right.
Because you can go on win streaks, and then if you go on those lose streaks, those win streaks definitely make up for it. Unfortunately, I was never getting those. I would go like win, win, lose, lose, win, lose, win, win, lose, lose, win, 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 lose, 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 lose.
Oh, goddamn.
So I ended up kind of just treading water at the end of the season. I think I ended up at rank 11.
Okay.
Which is the point where I gave up and just started playing silly decks. So.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, I need to finish a quest and I want to see how well this card does. So.
All right.
Let's throw it in.
I do want to thank you for this week's intro, Adam. I actually pointed out, so my buddy Bill has been listening to the podcast, and I actually pointed out, it's like Adam has started this thing of just trying to confuse the fuck out of me at the beginning of every intro, and you didn't do it this time. Hallelujah. I get to go into this episode with a clear mind.
See, I'm just breaking streaks this week. That's the theme. That's the theme is breaking streaks, whether it's win streaks, lose streaks, confusion streaks. I'm all about streaking this week.
No, you're all about not ending the streak.
Ending streaks.
Ending streaks.
I'm all about streaks in the sense that streaks are involved in this, but yeah, ending them. I later am going to go out and put clothes on a man running through the streets. So. That's my plans for later this evening.
I want to know where you find this guy.
I don't know. Just listen to the police reports.
That sounds entertaining. I might
man just... arrested for streaking. Man arrested for assaulting man streaking with pants. That'll be the headline.
Dude, that would get front page.
I think so. I would like to believe so anyway.
Yeah.
At least like, here.
This is the most entertaining thing that happened this week.
I would probably also get a medal of some sort.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be a trophy.
There you go.
Just like a pair of pants.
I'll get an achievement.
Stand. Exactly. Achievement unlock. Pants to the guy.
Streak ender. I was going to make some jokes about underwear now, too, but I don't think anyone wants to hear about those kind of streaks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, at least they were ended.
Yeah. So speaking of ending things, I heard you saw a movie.
Yes.
This week.
Segue.
In the most awkward of transitions.
Yeah, no, my friend Bob actually... drugged me out to see Mad Max.
Was it behind a motorcycle?
What?
Did he drag you out to see Mad Max behind a motorcycle?
No.
Okay, because that would have seemed thematically appropriate.
Yeah.
Yes, it would.
I was like, huh, he's right. I literally like watching the whole movie. There were a couple few things where I was able to make jokes about during the movie. But like, three words kept popping into my head of every scene, which was just so fucking metal.
Which is better than I'm out of popcorn.
Yeah.
Of popcorn being one word.
No, I did not run out of popcorn. Thank God. No, but. Like literally, my buddy CJ actually described it best when he said he was like I told him the so fucking metal thing, and he was like, yeah, it's pretty much a 2-hour long heavy metal album cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yes, it is.
That sounds about right. Based on the, I've only seen the previews, but to me that sounds like an accurate description.
It definitely is that. But they do actually do a really good job of. Establish. There's not that much dialogue,
mm-hmm.
but they still manage to establish the characters. You actually do form connections with them. I mean, they do a really good job of storytelling through the whole thing. And there's, you know, the different factions and all kinds of shit happen. It's crazy.
I've heard some really good things, not just about, you know, like, oh, Mad Max, and you know, kind of going back to that. That kind of wasteland million right. stuff like that. But I've heard some really good things about the story and the storytelling and how the visuals weren't just there to like, you know, make you go, yeah, fucking metal. They were, you know, they actually served a purpose.
Yeah. And there were a lot of like establishing shots. There's one dust storm that happens, that like this dust storm is coming in, and it's not, it, you know, it doesn't give you that so fucking metal kind of thing. It's, you're just in awe of this massive bestial thing that is coming towards them. And then they get inside it and it's fucking tornadoes.
Yeah.
Dust crazy. It's nuts. And then, and then it becomes so fucking metal. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, the guy riding the speaker truck, which a buddy of mine said that was the guitarist from Slipknot. And I was like, I need to look that up.
Is it, in fact, the guitarist from Slipknot?
I didn't have time to look that up. Okay. I'm going to have to look that up. But no, like if it was, I could totally see that, though. Just from the mask and shit they put on him, I could see that being Slipknot. And then they had him like rubber band strapped to this thing. So he's like bouncing all over the fucking place. He's blind, deaf, and fucking just rocking. It's amazing. So fucking metal. But no, really good movie. Really good movie. I'm glad me and Bob actually went outside and bullshitted for like half an hour afterwards, because I probably would have gotten in my car, broke a few sound barriers or whatnot, and killed myself.
Just okay, so I'm looking on the internet, and I'm just kind of running through links here,
okay,
to see if I can confirm this. In fact, he is not the guitarist from Slipknot.
Okay, all right, cool. So that is quashed now.
And in fact, I believe the actual guitarist from Slipknot was like this. Let me double check this real quick. Yeah, apparently he's like, I've gotten a lot of comments that it looks that I look like the guy in Mad Max.
That's awesome.
He's like, and basically he's kind of like, is that the case? I'm guessing it must be. Apparently he was saying that he was channeling Slipknot or something like that.
Oh, the guy
who's, yeah, so
the guitarist from Slipknot.
Or actually channeled Soundgarden and Sepultura. I don't know that band. I'm not hip enough.
Holy crap. Yeah, enough. I don't know that.
All right.
What?
Anyway. Confirmed. Not.
Confirmed. Not the guy. Or
actually, not the guitarist from Slipknot.
So. Yeah. Not the guy.
Anyway.
But still so fucking metal.
So I'm guessing you enjoyed it.
It was awesome.
So probably not something that you might want. I can't do this. I can't work the show title in. Don't miss it.
Something, yeah. You might have missed it so far. Don't.
Yeah. That sounds correct. And like I said, if you're apparently people really enjoyed it. I was reading something. There's apparently like some older like grandma type bikers or something. Yes. Like that.
Yes.
I was reading apparently like they did their own stunts.
Seriously?
Yes.
Okay. Cause some of the shit they did, holy fuck.
And I'm not sure if they did all their own stunts or like most of their own stunts or something, okay, like that, but they were did, like,
if they
were like, yeah, some of the younger actors were like, you know, really impressed by this, and the directors and stuff where they're like, are you sure you want to do this? We have, yeah, stunt people that we can pull in for this. They're like, nah, fuck it, we'll do it.
Yeah, no, some of the shit they did, like, damn, even if it's like a small percentage of the shit, that's still damn.
Yeah, that's
because those I mean, I hate to offend anybody, but them old bitches was crazy. Shit.
Yeah. There you go.
That movie was so awesome.
All right. Well, it was Nate. Well, Nate recovers from awesome sauciness, I guess. So I don't know.
Fucking metal.
From his metal fever. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
Is your town or village being terrorized by schools of drowners? Botchlings preying on your wives? Don't make matters worse for your town. Send for a professional witcher today. As witchers, we've got the training, gear, and intense physical mutations to take care of all sorts of dangerous monsters. What would, and likely has, killed scores of lesser monster exterminators would be easy prey for our professionals. Take it from me, Geralta Rivia. Whether you're dealing with the angry spirit of a murderer or just need to save your livestock from a hungry flight of griffins, the Witchers should be the first and last call you need to make. Contact us today for a free consultation. And remember the Witcher code. You pay, we'll slay.
Hey, and we're back. We just finished talking about Mad Max Fury Road, which I believe is...
so fucking metal.
There we go.
Thank you for giving me that opportunity, because I was holding it in.
I figured you had to get out of your system at some point, and now is a good enough time.
Okay.
I figure I could have also just been, like, built a soundboard out of that, and just that I'll just press a button, and that'll, you know,
just so
pop up as an metal effect. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this week, I've been playing a game. And it is not so fucking metal.
He won't even tell me what the game is.
It's called, so the game is called Chroma Squad. And, it's a tactical kind of RPG type of game, which immediately my mind kind of thought back like, oh my God, why am I enjoying this game so much? And it's kind of a throwback to, an homage. Comedic homage to, like, the Power Rangers and stuff like that. So you play Chroma Squad, which is five stunt people who are working on kind of like this soulless Sentai show, you know, Power Ranger type show.
Right.
And they decide that they would rather go in and into business for themselves and make their own show. You know, which would be just better than the one that they're working on. So the entire game is you filming these episodes with the team and kind of exploring all of these tropes and trying to gain an audience. Because your audience converts into money and stuff like that, that you then use to improve the show.
So you actually do like the producing and everything of it too.
Exactly. Wow. Well, sort of. It's interesting. So I'll kind of go into the structure here real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's a tactical RPG game, and each level is divided into episodes that you're filming for that particular week. And then each set of episodes is divided into seasons. So you start out obviously in season one, you film your first episode, and then you get like a certain amount of money from converting audience and stuff like that. And then, as you go through each episode, you're trying to get a certain number of audience points, which is kind of representative of the maximum number of people who are watching the whole show at any given time while you're ostensibly filming it. And they're kind of making cracks about filming it as you go through. So they're like, oh, let's do an episode about this or this episode about this. And then suddenly episode about this breaks out. And then you film it. And as you go through, you're trying to like do, you're obviously trying to attack the enemy and trying to win. But because you're also trying to get people to watch the show, you can't just go through and like win in the most efficient manner possible. It's not that type of game. So it's not one where it's like you're fighting for your very survival. You're fighting for the very survival of your show.
So you do it in the most entertaining way possible.
Exactly. And, you know, what do people who are watching Sentai shows really like to see? And that's, you know, awesome acrobatics, really cool team attacks, and then seeing their favorite character doing the stuff their favorite character does.
Right.
So each character you have, and you have the five kind of major roles, is you've got the leader. And, you know, the leader's role is to initiate like team attacks and stuff like that, because people like to see the leader leading his team, or participating with the team and that type of thing. Then you've got a scout who just has, you know, ultra long movement range, and people like to see the scout moving and doing acrobatics and stuff like that, because they're the ones who can do it best. You've got, of course, the techie character who is very much all about, you know, gadgets and ray guns and stuff like that. And people like seeing them use. So you get extra points for using gadgets and stuff like that. You have a fighter, just your kind of lead striker type character, and you get extra points for attacking with them. you know, they do the most damage for the most part, that sort of thing. And then finally you have your support character, and your support character is the only one in the team who can really heal. Later on you get some abilities that help out with that, but you know, people like seeing the support character healing other characters. So it's, you know, you're building up around this. And then throughout the show, you not only are trying to get audience points through like normal ways, like, you know, doing the things the characters like to do and that the audience likes to see them do, doing team attacks with each other. So, you know, setting yourself up so that multiple characters will attack something at the same time. You have a little command called teamwork that ends the character's turn, but allows them to like vault other characters. So like if you, so like in most movement games, you have movement and then you end at a certain point. But right. if you can end on a character who has their teamwork active, they can flip you further.
Oh.
And so you kind of like jump into their arms and then they throw you.
And I take it the audience enjoys that.
Oh, of course. The audience loves to see, you know, flips and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I was saying, then you also have like director instructions. So the director is kind of like the level rules, and you don't have to do those instructions. But of course, the director knows what the audience is going to want to see from this episode. So by completing the director instructions, you get extra points from those. And sometimes the director instructions are not necessarily the best way to beat the level, but potentially either like a harder or more entertaining way to do it. And so by completing those, you get extra points. And director instructions can be everything from like, execute X number of team attacks, or attack the boss every single turn, or, you know, attack the boss with this character every single turn. Which means that you're constantly like chasing them down and that sort of thing, trying to fulfill those. And then at the same time, you're also like, I could clear out this group of enemies very quickly. Like I've got the power to do it. But I want to maximize my points on this level, which means that I have to kind of like slow down, do some like, you end up doing really weird things in the name of maximizing the audience levels, like just flipping characters for no reason. Like you throw a character on teamwork, you're like, all right, I can get an extra 20 points, an extra 20 audience points if I vault a character off of this, but there's no good place to vault them to. And so you can think about it for a second, you're like, fuck it, I need it. So you vault them just in anywhere.
Just into like middle of nowhere.
Into the middle of nowhere and then walk them back very slowly. But you know, you get those extra points for it.
Totally.
Because if you finish the level too quickly, you don't get as much audience. And then since audience translates directly into money, which you need to improve your characters. And of course, I'll talk about this in a second, improve your mecha. You have to do stuff. And so in the tradition of like Power Rangers and Sentai shows and stuff like that, you of course have to have giant mecha battles. So in addition to this kind of like fun tactical gameplay that's going on, you've also got this really kind of weird, percentage based mini game. And the giant boss monsters are, you know, like, supposedly you're just in a giant like cardboard robot type thing fighting, you know, on this like fake looking cityscape sort of thing.
Oh,
and so you have a certain percentage to hit and you build up combo points, which increase damage. So you hit and then it drops your combo percentage by 10% each time. So eventually you're going to miss. So it becomes kind of this guessing game on the offensive side of like, how many attacks can I get in before I'm going to miss and open myself up for attacks from the monster. The flip side is that you can end a combo early and give yourself additional defense.
Okay.
Against the monster's attacks. So it becomes this kind of guessing game where you're like, okay, so I am at 77%. Is it worth it to make another attack now? Am I willing to risk that roll? And, you know, usually my answer at 77 is like, yeah, sure. So I, you know, hit the button and then, you know, be like, God damn it, if I miss, or like, okay, 67%. Am I willing to risk this? Like, is it worth taking an extra, you know, 5,000 or 6,000 damage or whatever it is, in order to avoid a fight or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is, but most often I'm kind of chicken shit and I'm like, nope, If I get to 60-ish percent or lower, like 70 plus is my threshold. And then 60 or less is kind of like, no, it's not going to happen. And then on the defense side, you've got kind of this timing game, where you have to, you have like the sliding bar, and then you have like various sweet spots of defense where you get defense bonuses if you hit it at the exact right time.
Okay.
Which sounds fairly easy, but it's actually really hard to hit sweet spot, because the sweet spot is a very, very specific point. And you hit that and it's like huge defense bonus. But if you miss that on either side, you're kind of like, it's not as good. This isn't great. So it's really interesting as a way to kind of simulate those giant battles, within the context of a game sort of thing. So, it was a lot of fun to play through that. The other thing that I really liked is they really do a good job of, kind of shoestringing your budget and stuff like that. Like there's a crafting system in the game, and you're kind of like, wait, crafting? Why would you, what kind of crafting would you be doing? And you're making like your costumes and weapons out of like cardboard.
Oh shit.
So your crafting supplies that you're picking up, in battles, and you can buy packs of them and stuff like that, is you're picking up like cardboard boxes that you can use to help build the mech a little bit better.
Oh, shit.
You know, pieces of cotton that you can sew into jackets or, you know, helmets, putty and clay and stuff like that. And then various forms of duct tape, that you can use to build even better stuff. And each season you get access to higher quality materials and higher quality items. And you can, you know, there's a shop that will sell you stuff that you can use as props. For your series or whatever. So there's, you know, all of this stuff that you can be doing to improve your characters and so on.
Interesting.
And then it's not just improving the characters. You also are improving your studio, because your studio is basically a warehouse. So you have this, you basically, your uncle owns, or your lead character's uncle owns just this abandoned warehouse. And a giant, like, prop brain in a jar.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So you take over his empty warehouse and turn it into a studio. But, you know, you're buying upgrades for the studio. So you're buying, like, things like lights. And the lights help your characters hit enemies better because they can see them better. You're buying better microphones, and better microphones turn into, you know, better ratings and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Crates and, you know, better cardboard boxes, better green screens, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Bigger studios, and also healthcare, oddly enough, is a, an option in the game.
Okay.
And then you can improve the plan that you offer your actors, which improves their health. So when they're fighting.
All right.
But yeah, there's all these little, really interesting little things and side jokes and stuff like that within it. And then they're discussing each individual episode. And so it's just a lot of fun. They really take the whole world and really kind of draw you into it. And it's just silly all the way through. So you never really stop having fun with the game. And then when you're in the tactical combat side, it's just, it's so very different. Because again, you're not trying to do things in the most efficient way. You're trying to do things in the most fun way.
Okay. That's a different way of going about it, to say the least.
Yeah. And one of the reasons that I was kind of nervous about talking about trying this game is because I had just finished with Shadowrun Online.
Right. And previous episode for opinions on that.
Had been really disappointed by it, you know, just in all of these aspects. So as I was looking at this game, I'm like, I don't know if I can give my heart to another tactical game, but I'm like, all right, I'm going to try this out. So I ended up playing it and I'm just loving it. It's so much fun.
Nice.
I highly recommend this game. The other cool thing is that, and I haven't been able to test this yet because I haven't finished the game on one side and I haven't gotten far enough on the other to like confirm this, but I believe that there are multiple endings and multiple like storylines throughout the game based on your decisions.
Really?
Yeah. Because okay. You occasionally get emails from people. Sometimes they're fans, like, wanting something from the show. Probably my favorite one, and I don't know if this is spoilery. I don't think it is. Because you get this email from a fan, like, later in the seasons, and they're like, I really hated the way that you did this and this and this, and, you know, this, and then, you know, goes off on all about this stuff, and my favorite character is this, and you're not featuring them enough. And you can respond with, like, basically, like, oh, okay, well, sorry. we're sad to see you go. And then the second answer is like their favorite character, your favorite character says hi. And I chose your favorite character says hello. And immediately the next message was like, oh my God, I can't believe you responded to me. I love your show forever. And then the bonus was plus one fan.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I just stopped and then just was laughing so hard. I couldn't keep going.
Oh my God, I love your show forever. Yeah. Come on.
In all caps in the text. No, it's really, really good. So, highly, highly worth picking up. It's not on sale. It's actually kind of a newer game, but even at $15, I think it's got enough replayability and enough fun humor and stuff like that, that it is really worth picking up at the retail price. And the developers, it was a Kickstarter game, which normally I would be like, but they've done such a great job with it, and they're still putting out like bug fixes and rebalancing and stuff like that to make the game better. So the most recent patch was on the 18th.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're still working with it, but a lot of fun. Highly recommend it. Chroma Squad is Chroma the name Squad. Of the game.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I might actually have to pick it up.
Well, and if you're a fan of like the, cause I think I watched maybe like 3 episodes of Power Rangers. And I think it's probably true for both of us, although I can't obviously speak for you necessarily. But Power Rangers kind of passed me over. I was a little bit too old for it when it became popular in the US. So like I'm approaching this, I'm not excited about this because it's, you know, making fun of a genre I'm intimately familiar with. I only have a passing familiarity with, a lot of the references and stuff like that into it. So I'm sure for somebody who's actually a fan of like, or was a fan who, you know, who grew up on this kind of thing, there's gotta be like a billion references that I'm missing in this.
See, I caught it like, I caught it actually at the very tail end. I remember it was back, even before I met you that, I used to watch Power Rangers.
Yeah. And like I said, I watched maybe like 2 episodes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I
was like, of course, the older, you know, like, I'm too old for this. I'm an older person now. And I was like, you know, 10 or something like that.
All right.
But, you know, at 10, when you're too old for something.
Yeah. Yeah. I was. Yeah.
10. This is baby stuff.
No, I wasn't. I actually, the people I was hanging out with were younger. So totally into this.
Yeah. No. And that's, you know. Yeah. I think, you know, the closest connection I have to it is probably like, Dragon Ball Z type stuff. You know, very, power level heavy now, and just constant fighting.
But now that is a genre somebody needs to make fun of.
I think they have.
Oh,
a lot.
Significantly.
anyway, so that's Chroma Squad. Highly recommend picking it up. We're going to take a quick break and then we will be right back with more fun and excitement.
Have you lost someone dear to you? Has losing your loved one sent you on a quest for vengeance or redemption? Does it feel like there's not enough time to pay your respects before cutting a bloody swath through mobs of henchmen? Here at Redfield and Valentine Mortuary, we understand that even if it feels like time stands still for you, there are still so many things to take care of for the departed, before you can depart to strike great vengeance down upon those who have wronged you. We offer traditional and non-traditional funeral services of all faiths, religions, and heroic motivations at a price and speed that will work for your mission. So while you're racing against the clock, grinding against lackeys, or finishing those last side quests, We'll help you with every detail to make sure your loved ones receive the proper respect they deserve. Call Redfield and Valentine today. Group packages available.
And we're back.
We are like kings of the segues.
And we're back. No, we're horrible at segues.
We are terrible at segues. There is Lego stuff. No flow. we just talk about it's segments. It's segments. Exactly. It's not a flow show.
Well,
it's
like segments. Legos, it's all Lego. In segments.
It's segments.
See, there's a transition for you.
Legos, segments. Actually, yeah, totally. So anyway, no, this game actually came out today. I got all of 10 minutes of play into it before we did the show.
So definitely a buy.
I don't know yet. Actually, I'm really iffy just with that 10 minutes.
Oh, are you?
It seems, I don't know. Cause it looks like they were trying to go Minecraft style, but I mean, it's still apparently very early access. They're still working on a lot of customized stuff and everything like that. But the only thing that really bugged me was you walk around like gathering all these different models. Like right off the bat, you start gathering models for like flowers and shit like that. Within the first like 30 seconds, I was riding a goat. That was awesome. Literally walk up to a goat, press E, mount the goat, ride the fucking goat. It was good. It was funny. I was like, what does E do? It's got an E over it.
So this actually surprises me. And I think this is interesting because I've seen a couple things. But what surprises me is it's being produced. It's a Lego game.
It is a Lego game. Yes.
And you're not kidding when you say it's an early access. Cause I looked it up. It's called Lego World.
Right.
Or Lego Worlds, excuse me.
Right.
And which is when you said like it's kind of in early access, I'm like, oh, it's been released by Lego, and you know they're still adding stuff onto it. But no, it's literally listed as early access.
Early access, yes.
Which surprises me from a developer,
right? Major studio,
Warner Brothers studio,
coming out with an early access game.
So I think like, oh man, this is like almost kind of the worst thing in my head is I'm thinking like, this is the culmination. Like every single person who released an early access game and made like boatloads of money on it.
Yeah.
You've done this to us.
Yeah, exactly. This is all of your hatred for early access put on screen. But no, anyway, so more about the game. But yeah, it's totally early access. It is like just playing. It's early access. But the only thing that really bugged me was like you gather these little models, and I mean, I'm only 10 minutes in. Don't get me wrong. This is very, very early guessing. So we'll probably have more next week. Yeah.
Kind of about the gameplay itself.
Exactly. Unless I go and play Chroma Squad. It'd be your fault if I did.
You have time for both.
I also have to play Witcher. And trust me, that takes time. But anyway, so Lego Worlds, the thing that bugged me was money.
Money.
Not like real world money.
Right.
You see an early access game and then you mention money and everybody's like, microtransactions! It's not microtransactions.
I was actually like seriously in my head, but I'm like, I'm gonna let him finish.
Yeah. It's not microtransactions. It's $15, you get the game, you play the game. There's unlockables, but as you go around, you do the normal, like in any Lego game in existence, you break stuff, it drops coins. You collect the coins. You use the coins to buy the little flowers and shit that you collected the things. And I mean, there's other things like you buy animals. You can actually buy pre-built houses. I haven't seen much customizability from it yet. So.
Well, that's one of the things they promised in the description. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's there. Like you can build your own models.
Right. The only thing that bugs me is like, this is literally like came out in early access today. So I these are very early. Came out in early access today, and I played all of 10 minutes of it.
And by today, we mean June 1st, which is when we're actually recording.
Yes, yes.
So actually yesterday for you guys. Yesterday,
yeah. So this is probably the latest we've ever recorded an episode.
That's true. Because
I don't think we've done an episode the day of yet. Everybody, mad props to Adam, our editor, because, yeah, I'm just the other guy. He does all the work for
this. Speaking of mad props in Legos.
Mad props in Lego. See, and that's one of the things is because I'm watching the trailer on it. I mean, and it's a minute and a half long trailer, so you'd think they'd show like some customizability for shit. Mm-hmm. But all I'm seeing are the same things. Like, you know, their generic plane, their generic helicopter, their generic drill. It's literally all their pre-built shit. And like even like the Western Zone, I mean, you'd think they'd want to show, you know, hey, look, you can do customizable weird shit. But I mean, they do show a few things, like they built a Lego guy, a giant Lego guy. So that might be possible. So, I mean, I don't know if the customizability is there. Again, this is a very early report. So, and really, this is just because I didn't have anything else to talk about this week.
Well, it would be interesting to see because there's a. If we're wrong about this, we apologize. Looking kind of at the pedigree of the studio that produced this, Lego games in general are good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is just overwhelmingly, they're fun games. But they're entering a very, their expectations for this particular genre. And there's two ways that I can see that they're going to go about it, which is very much like Minecraft, which is, you know, everything is built out of blocks and that sort of thing. Right. But it doesn't quite seem like that's the way they're going. You're building things out of Lego pieces and out of existing Lego sets and existing Lego tiles and stuff like that. But you can either go where you build that up yourself, or it'll be a little bit more like, and it's really weird because I was watching somebody play Dark Cloud 2 recently, which is a very old game. Yeah. But one of the ways you build stuff in that game is you collect pieces, and then it's less about like world building and more about like world placement. Okay. And there's, you know, more intricate systems that I won't go into here with that. But the thing that, you know, took away from that is, like, you're taking buildings and you're putting them in places, and you can certainly customize that. And looking at some of the screenshots, you know, you can customize the slopes and stuff like that in a very Sim City sort of way. But again, built with Legos.
Right. Yeah. It looks like Lego is doing that too. But I mean, the only thing that kind of makes me apprehensive about it is because, it's single player only to start out with. Number one, single player only for right now.
Wouldn't surprise me if that goes away, because I think one of the things that has kept Minecraft so popular is the multiplayer side.
Right. Of it. See, the thing that's iffy about that is because Lego's tried to do MMOs before. They tried to do a Lego MMO before, and Dix actually ruined it. And I don't mean Dix as in people.
No, you mean actual like people building Dix.
Yeah, exactly. It was people building Dix to the point where Lego actually had to have a quality control team that whenever something was submitted, it had to go through this quality control team to make sure they didn't find any Dix. And no, I'm not kidding.
No, I know you're not. That's why I'm scary thing. I'm not laughing because I think you're kidding. I'm laughing because I can see it from all sides of this, which is the quality control team who is tearing their hair out because then people are trying to get shit past them. And so they just find like Dix embedded in like, portions of buildings or just Dix.
I was actually talking to a buddy of mine today about this. It's like, what you need to do is you need to get one that you have to be like 30 feet away and 20 feet in the sky looking at a southeastern angle and you see a Dix.
Well, I was just thinking like you just like little decorations within it.
Oh, like little mini Dix?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah.
No, or like certain arrangements of furniture within a house and you look at it and it's like, oh, that's a Dix.
But yeah,
although I see a lot of mushrooms.
You could make some Dix.
Yeah, I was gonna say
This Lego world is, you know what? I'm surprised it's been out for, you know, a few hours now. There's probably some Dix.
Well, and so the thing about that, like, and then again, the reason why I say like multiplayer might still be a possibility is that rather than doing it like they did it before, which
MMO,
is,
yeah.
Yeah, where they're controlling the servers, they're hosting all of this content. That means that they have responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the same thing going way back. The first lawsuits against Napster were successful because Napster actually stored like illegal music files.
Right.
So when a company has responsibility for the thing that they're storing, then they have to worry. But the way Minecraft can get around that and the way that it
is because, you know, everything's run on private servers.
Exactly. So Minecraft doesn't own any of the servers, which means that, you know, when they talk about online play, you know, they can put a little warning on there that's basically like, we don't control this. We built a single player sandbox that you can now connect over a network to somebody else. And so if you see, you know, if you go to the world of dicks,
you're going to see some dicks.
You're going to see dicks, and we have no control over that. Yeah, we don't control that server.
But see, that's the thing, though. Can you see a company like Warner Brothers or Lego allowing their property to be in that kind of control?
I think that really is the question, because I'm kind of with you there, which is there's the two sides of the of this coin, which is, you know, if they allow this sort of, you know, connection stuff like that, it means that they have to loosen up the DRM on it,
right,
to allow those sorts of connections. So there's going to be a struggle, I think, and probably a struggle within the company itself.
It's probably already happening.
Yeah, they're probably already discussing this now, which is, you know, they're either looking at solutions to say, you know, how can we create DRM to make sure that, you know, everyone who's playing this game has legitimately bought a copy. And, you know, can we allow this sort of multiplayer without us having to have the expense of policing that multiplayer?
Right, because that's what killed the MMO, was the expense of the quality control team and everything. And see, I look at this game, and I don't see a way that it can be successful without multiplayer someday.
Yeah.
Just because of Minecraft. And all the different Minecraft clones. Cause I mean, let's lay it out right on the table. This is a Minecraft clone.
Yeah.
Basically.
For sure. Basically. Well, Minecraft is a Lego clone, but you know.
Right. Minecraft was originally a Lego clone, and this now is a game made by Lego to be a clone of a game that was a clone of Lego.
Oh God. Oh God. You have entered.
Who's confusing
the Twilight
who zone. Now? Ha! But no, like, I mean, because of Minecraft and all the Minecraft clones, and every single one of them allows multiplayer, I don't see how this can be successful on a real release, like once it gets out of early access, or even like later stages of early access. Mm-hmm. I don't see how this game could be successful without multiplayer.
Not even necessarily success, like long-term success is what they'd probably be looking at. And that would be the problem. The other thing I could see is that this would be kind of a gateway drug into Minecraft.
I might have
for
to go
kids. Which is to say, you know, like they pick up the patterns, they get all of this building placement stuff, and they don't have to think so much about like physical relationships between individual blocks when they're building. They just, you know, they just have to think about what they want to create, and then they put it down.
Actually,
you know,
Kayla's
throw
10.
Down the buildings.
Actually, Kayla's 10 and she plays Minecraft like
right, and I'm thinking even younger.
Oh, okay. You're thinking
like I'm thinking like five or six.
Five and up. Okay, yeah. Like the five and up, like the mm-hmm. little like you congratulations, you've graduated from Mega Bloks. Here's a video game.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. You know, and learning that kind of that spatial awareness of like things are here, and if you put a thing here, it's in relation to that. Type of gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
They could aim it towards that, but looking at some of the controls and some of the stuff like that, it doesn't seem like that's the case. Like the elevation controls and stuff like that. I don't see that being super intuitive for a younger player.
Right. Yeah.
At that point, you're just like, I'm making all the hills. And then suddenly everything is hills.
Yeah.
Or you can't build on top of any, but that could just be part of the fun for them too. But, you know, the UI itself doesn't seem geared towards that younger generation.
It is a very simple UI, though. I will say that.
And I don't deny that by any means. You know, but again, a simple UI for you and I can be incredibly daunting for, you know, a child. Right. Especially when you're not dealing with a touchscreen.
Right. And actually, this already, like with the early access, this already has gamepad capability. Mm-hmm. So it's already controller capable. So I could easily see this being like starting here and having like this early access actually just being like a test for it to go out to the consoles.
Yeah, that definitely could be the case.
Makes me happy. It's starting on PC.
Yes.
I don't give a fuck what it is, dude. It's starting on PC. Yes.
There you go. It'll be interesting to see how this all pans out, though.
I can't wait.
You know, it's not really my type of game, so I'll have to rely on you to watch it a little bit more closely. Mm-hmm. But I think there are some interesting questions that are raised by, you know, one, a major studio moving into this early access realm.
Right.
That for me is one scary and also interesting.
Yeah.
And then the other side of it is, you know, how will this game work in the future?
Well, you're going to think like this could almost like early access could almost turn into public beta. You know, like for most companies.
It kind of has. Because
this would be an incredibly effective way to get your game out to public beta. And even like, cause most games run off of a free public beta kind of thing, or at least like a heavily discounted. And this could totally be that. Cause I mean, it's $15.
Early access from a game company like this, I think is kind of, I think more for them a way to throw up their hands and be like, you can't criticize us. The game's not finished. Ha ha ha.
I mean, that's totally it. Because, I mean, you see the games go into beta for, you know, like years.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I there's several games that are still in beta that I remember playing a long time ago.
I might have to go through my list at some point and figure out, you know, what games were we talking about a year ago that are still in open that are still in, you know, early access.
Early access or open beta. Well, like open beta, like how many different MMOs stay in open beta for, oh dear fucking God, long?
Well, I can understand with MMOs because there's a lot of bugs that have to be fixed with this, with an MMO, that sort of thing. And you have to do stress tests and stuff like that.
I played an MMO that was in open beta, air quotes, for 5 years.
Okay, at that point, you're not really an open beta.
Yeah, that's released.
You're just kind of giving it away at that point, actually.
Well, it was, it was a free to play. And they'd already implemented, like, the cash shop, all that. I was like,
oh, yeah, no, totally. Then they're just, that's just a way for them to make sweeping changes and
exactly. You're just calling it beta because you fucking feel like it. You've released expansions, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. The second you release expansions in an open beta.
Exactly. It's like that was a finalized game.
There's something up there.
You're releasing expansions, calling them events, and they're expansions. You guys fail.
Yeah. Or they have succeeded beyond anyone's wildest dreams.
Yes. And yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've ranted enough about open betas. And it's time for the openness of the show to close.
So, okay.
Wow, I am really... This has been horrible transitions. I mean, you might have missed it. You can always catch us over on Twitter at YMHMI. Catch our streams over on Twitch at twitch.tv/YMHMI. This last week I did not stream because the Grand Prix in Las Vegas for Magic the Gathering were going on. And I like watching them. So, yeah. I hope you enjoyed that, too. And I need to actually go unlist our channel from that. in any case, you can also catch us on Facebook at facebook.com/YMHMI. And you can catch the podcast or replays over on YouTube at youtube.com/YouMightHaveMissedIt.
Hey, the podcast's on YouTube.
Yeah, give those channels a follow.
That actually surprised the fuck out of me when that happened.
Well, the second I posted,
he was doing it.
Well, no, and I didn't tell anyone I was doing it. And then by the time it posted, it takes a while to post these things. So I set it up, got it downloading, and then went and did some other stuff. And I'm playing another game, and a friend of mine in that game suddenly looks and is like, wait, you're posting these on YouTube? And I'm like, wait, what? How do you? And apparently they followed the channel and got a notification. And I'm like, yes, we are. I just posted it now. And then they're like, oh, okay, I'm going to go listen. Like, it's just the pod. Okay, yes, go listen.
it's just the, wait a second.
Yeah, go listen. Tell your friends.
Go.
And you also go tell your friends about YMHMI. The legend of YMHMI.
Actually, I think we're not legend yet. We're kind of underground.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We're underground in the sense that we're living under rocks. And maybe you're living under a rock. If you haven't told your friends, don't live under rocks. Tell your friends.
Technically, I live in a basement, so I am underground.
I live on a second floor, so we kind of out
to ground level. So we average out to surface level.
Yeah, we are on the ground floor of podcasting by the law of averages. Anyway, thanks for listening. We will catch you next week.
Dude, you've sunk 9.8 hours into it. Holy shit.
Yeah. None of that is just it running, by the way. Huh? None of that is just it running, by the way.
Oh, really? That's like straight up, I'm playing this.
Yeah, like managing the studio and stuff like that. Okay. I forgot to mention my studio name is YMHMI.
Is it?
Yep.
I figured. That is totally... you remember when I was playing frickin' Game Developer? Mm-hmm. That was the name of the game studio.
I think I forgot to mention you can customize all of this stuff.
Oh, nice. Right. I may buy this game, but I'm sorry, my development studio may be called So Fucking Metal.
Okay. That's fine, because I already took the good YMHMI jokes.
Yeah, the YMHMI.
No, so you can name the studio stuff. So you have like YMHMI is my, or you might have missed it as my studio name. And then the team name is YMHMI. And then I'm doing this from memory. You can name the robot, and my robot's name is Yimmy Hime. Spelled out, so you have to pronounce it. So it looks vaguely Japanese. Oh, son of I think it's like Y-I-M-E-I-H-I. No, it's Y-I-M-I-H-I-M-E-I. Yimmy Hime. And with dashes.
Oh my god. All of that. That is.
And then, there's a team attack. So when you're.
Oh shit.
So you actually, there's a point in the game where you transform into your costumes. And, when you do that, you like have the power up. And, mine is like just pretty generic. Like, YMHMI, go. Uh-huh. And, they transform. But when they do their team attack, the team attack, when all five of them do the teamwork thing on one enemy, their battle cry is, we won't miss it.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
That sounds like some fucking Lego movie shit right there.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. I just like, what is, wow. Like, these have to be really lame. Like, that's, every single aspect of this has to be somewhere on the lame side. So
that
I'm like,
is so incredible.
This is the perfect place for that.
That is perfect. That is, yes.